Howdy, friends. How are you doing this day? Stefan Maia here with you. AddedSouls.com live on the Added to the Church of Christ Acts 2:47 page. Bringing you a lesson titled Timeline, Authority, New Testament. Timeline, Authority, New Testament. And we're going to find ourselves beginning in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, we look at the prophet therein, one who lived approximately 600 years BC, which would make for us approximately 2,600 years ago. He is going to proclaim some words of prophecy regarding a thing that would be accomplished 600 years later, approximately. And it's quite powerful, if you will, because the regime, the policies, the governing thrust of the law that they were born into as Israelites, these Jews, the system was going to change. It was going to The law they were under was going to go away, and there was going to be a new law to come about and change things for them. So we're going to take a look at that, and we're going to see how that functions. We want to make sense of it, and we want to find out the application, the principles therein that we have to set forth in our path this day as Christians, right? And it's wonderful that we can go back to the Old Testament and read and learn. We learn the nature of God, and we see within those pages the Christ to come and this new covenant to be established. The Jews, for centuries, lived under the practice of an outward law. In obedience to the commands therein, a perfect law was given to them, but they could not adhere to it in a perfect system or manner, one in which the blood of bulls and goats would not have a lasting effect, though perfect for their time and era during the precision of the people that it was designed to, it was not formulated in a way that would have a continuous, everlasting, eternal blood flow, pure blood flow, sinless blood flow. For that regime, that policy, that governing system, the reign of the Christ must come. And Jeremiah, though seeing things with the foggy view, was going to prophesy of a time when the covenant of perfection would come through Christ. Now, as Peter would have described in his writings, inspired writings of the New Testament, he would say, you know, many of the prophets would long to see the things we have seen, because the prophet Jeremiah was speaking of a thing that he would not fully understand yet, not have been alive during the age of the fulfillment of the prophetic utterance that he proclaimed. And of course, the majority, the bulk of prophets in the day and age was to address the immediate. It was for the people therein to hear the words of repentance. Repent, or there will be physical consequences. The great I am is not pleased with your adulterous ways, this, that, and the other. And it had an immediate destination. But every once in a while, a messianic prophecy was turned about, and also a designated time in which a new covenant would be established, a timeline for it. So, in Jeremiah, I appreciate all the growing viewership, by the way. I'm happy to see you all with us here. Like, share, comment. You can start your watch parties. This is how Facebook knows we're interacting with gospel content. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 31. And I'm going to read through verse 31, 32, 33, and 34. And of course, I'm going to do so with the well-rounded sphere of the scriptures as a whole so that you can understand the context with the proper interpretation here. Behold, the prophet says in verse 31 of chapter 31, behold, the days are coming. There's a timeline. There's a chronological dispensation taking place, a historical timeline for this day to come, says the Lord. Well, what is that? Well, that's the authority. There's a timeline coming that will be established by the authority, being deity, when I will make a new covenant, says the Lord, a testament, a different regime and policy with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. Israel disobeyed God and were punished for it. Though I was a husband to them, even so that God was wed to this covenant, they were wed to God through this covenant, this old system that we now looking retro, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Well, during the days of the Romans in Jerusalem, with the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit, says the Lord, I will put my law, a new legal and binding document of policies and government to be obeyed, in their minds, the thinking muscle, and write it on their hearts, the emotional investment made when we obey His New Testament commandments. We learn to memorize the New Testament, and doing so have His words written on our hearts. And I will be their God. Authorized ownership. And they shall be my people, belonging, acceptance, justified, sanctified, set apart, called out, holy, different than the world. All possible through Jesus Christ, this new coming system in government and covenant. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. No, the Old Testament law and the way it was taught to the people of Israel shall be done with. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, when this new system, this New Testament law is established. Both Jews and the Gentiles will have opportunity as grown accountable individuals to obey that form of doctrine from the heart. And now I quote, alongside, rightly divided to this text, Romans 6:17, which says, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, the flesh, bondage to the old, but ye have obeyed from the heart, the right mind, genuine, sincere, honest. That form of doctrine, the teaching, the law, the instruction, the words, which was delivered you, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity upon fulfillment of the conditions of this new covenant system that is to be. And their sin I will remember no more. Washed away, washed clean, made pure, saved, Acts 22:16, a new covenant where there is now no condemnation for those who are in the location of the saved, citizens of the kingdom in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1. See, the system of the old, of the flesh, was created to condemn, to point out sin and say, sin. Therefore, death, condemnation, this new system, this new covenant, this new testament would be of the Spirit. The written words of outpoured power from the Holy Spirit, releasing men from the bondage and shackles of iniquity and old practice, tradition, man-made endeavors. This is a great transition. Us human beings, and you know this to be true, we practice a certain thing for 5 years and we can't let it go. Man, if we do something for about 6 months, we have a hard time letting go. We are creatures of habit. We do a thing, we repetitively do a thing. Imagine the difficulty of a people, a nation, a collective ensemble of souls who have been repetitively doing an outward act of law for centuries, now being told that is done away with, and now a new system that is not only to have obedience outwardly, it must now have great importance inwardly written on the heart, etched in the mind. This, my friends, has been the bulk of literature in the New Testament, which is let go the practices of Judaism and fully embrace the teachings of the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the chosen coming King. The redemptive scheme for mankind has been birthed from the mind of God, prophesied by the prophets of old, promised by the Christ, purchased by His blood, and now must be practiced by our faith. This is good, isn't it? Of course it is. It's the Word of God. So now, friends, there's a difference taking place. This coming law of Christ, Galatians 6:2, was something new that would be applied to the house of Israel, God's people. A great change was to take place. From what was once divided must now be united in this one common law, this testament. That's why the Hebrew writer cites Jeremiah to prove that God planned a new covenant for his people and had taken the old covenant away. Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, we understand, or we must understand, that the passage in Jeremiah, of course, again, written 600 years prior to the fulfillment, that's small excursion. Proof and evidence of scriptural inspiration, friends, there's no way anything else has this kind of precision and accuracy when it comes to prophetic fulfillment. I mean, this is recorded history. This is true inspired writ. All these myths and fictions and these fraudulent, manipulative people who claim to know the future or tell the future or predict this or predict that, they're foolish-minded people. When you want to find true, solid, accurate evidence for scriptural inspiration, there are many categories you can go in. One of them is the prophecies, the prophets, and the things they were able to utter out of their mouths that would come true with specific geographical location, time, rain, all of that. Anyway, small excursion, we go back. Something for your thought there, a bit of penman for your notes. So here we find ourselves again. Jeremiah spoke of this very coming covenant, something that would bring a great change in the people. Okay, so we must understand that the passage of Jeremiah refers to the Christian age. That is what he is speaking of in our era. It is the Christians who are the true Israel. There's point and purpose to this teaching. Follow along, stick with it. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, remember? Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, repentance. In the spirit, the New Testament literature, not in the letter, which the old law and the many traditions of Judaism has been held in. No, who prays is not from men, which comes with Jewish traditions. No, but from God, which comes from inspired words. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. See, under Moses' law, a child was born an Israelite. As he grew up and became responsible, he had to be taught God's law and learn to live by them. These laws were of sin and death, the flesh, what is of old. They were perfectly administered to condemn mankind, but under Christ's law, that changed. A mature person chooses to be a child of God after he is taught God's law. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. He chooses to be a Christian because he desires what God has taught him. The law is written on his thinking mind, emotionally invested within the heart. Thus, every Christian already knows the Lord because you must know him in order to become a Christian, which was different from how it used to be under the old law, in which you were born into the Israelite nation prior to learning God. Paul writing to Christians in Rome, was instructing them to let go the law of sin and death, flesh, what they have been accustomed to traditionally as an outward obedience to a law. They had lost the inward application, the why to it. You know, Paul, the writers of the New Testament, trying to bring them, well, commanding them to bring change because of the sinful nature of trying to juggle Judaism and New Testament right. Paul was telling them to fully embrace the law of Christ, the New Testament, the words of the Holy Spirit. Many Jews in the first century had a very hard time letting go Judaism. And again, wouldn't you? You do a thing for 5 years, and we already don't want to let it go. We've been misguided or are ignorant in a scriptural verse. We've been taking it out of context for decades. We don't want to change our understanding. We don't want to repent of that. We don't want to learn more. We become fixed in our habits. And so just imagine this New Testament system being commanded upon the minds of Jewish practice and people who had been doing a certain thing a certain way for centuries, and of course adding to their traditions their own man-made ways. These Jews would have one foot in the old and another in the new, and of course this was sinful. You couldn't mix these two together. That's why they remained on milk when they should have been on solid food. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 says, and I quote, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." It's interesting how the writer says there, "by this time." And Jeremiah, 600 years prior to that, says, "Behold, the days are coming." There's a timeline in which is coming where a different, more mature system of governing is going to be upon mankind. "For though by this time," this mature time, this time of Jesus Christ, the messianic dispensation, "you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You've been reciting and reading the Old Testament, following the law in an outward format without understanding the inward depth in which it should be applied, and because of that, your blindness has made it such that you cannot see the Messiah through the scriptures you've been reading. So now, though you should be teachers, you got to go back and learn these things. You got to go back to the Old Testament, start reading it with the lens of the New Testament, seeing the Christ and the messianic prophecies therein and this coming age, this Christian age. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He doesn't accept, he doesn't want to understand the words that are proper and right in this format, this covenant, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature." Oh, "who because of practice," pay attention, "have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Wow. An infant is yet not trained to discern good and evil. And friends, I assure you, there are Christians, preachers, evangelists, elders, deacons, there are leaders in the Lord's church this day, been there 30, 40, 50 years, who are still on milk. And because they are remaining in infants, as infants, they can't discern right from wrong, good from evil. The Jews had one foot in Judaism, blinded by it, and one foot in New Testament Christianity, and it just don't mesh, it just don't mix. Yeah, we want the freedom we find in Christ, but we still want to bind on you circumcision. Nope, still on milk, buddy. Get out of there. You would find yourselves today with many Christians who have a misunderstanding of a certain verse, clinging to it, never wanting to let it go, and learn and grow. Now, you're still on milk, buddy. You can't learn right from wrong. That's why you're making all these bad decisions. That's why you're not leading anything forward, spiritually speaking. This is important information. They needed to have this great change in their hearts and their minds. This new covenant was coming. Friends, this day, my office as an evangelist is to teach you solid food. Spiritual nourishment, which delivers us away from any inaccurate understanding of Scripture. That's a great responsibility and judgment upon my head. I can't mess this up. I must study these things morning, day, and night, so when I come to you and teach them to you, I am firmly convinced and convicted and rightly divided scripture is being presented to you. I can meet God with a good conscience. This is not a marketplace of ideas where we just start to throw things around and say, well, maybe this verse means that. Maybe it means this. And if it means this for you, that's fine. I mean, whatever. We're all going to heaven some way. I mean, we can all have leg room here. There's no solid objective standard in reality to each verse in the Bible. It's just, that ain't the way to go, man. I'm here to teach you solid food, spiritual nourishment, which delivers us away from any inaccurate understanding of Scripture, to let go what is of old in order to fully embrace what is new, away from any old tradition or denominational practice and belief, away from any idleness and apathy, away from sinful behavior and thought, away from the flesh and into the Spirit. Through the Spirit, we have knowledge, education, understanding, peace, forgiveness, and agape, phileo, love. We learn this from Paul, who was teaching the Christians of the day to let go the flesh, which would condemn. The system was created in fashion to bring out error and fault in one's sin, and therefore death as a result, and to embrace, to let that go and to now embrace the Spirit which would give life, away from death, now into life. We die to the old and are born again to the new. Romans 6, 3 and 4. The timeline, the authority, the New Testament. Does that make sense? Isn't that good? That's why Paul wanted the Christians to understand that they were no longer under the old covenant of flesh, but are now in the new covenant of the Spirit, the words of Jesus Christ. And this is a commandment of God, who has all authority, active in this timeline we now live in, the Christian age, the age of the new covenant. Friends, listen to me. Whatever your religious background, whatever your past sinful practices, beliefs, and behaviors, we let them go in order to receive the New Testament, the words of the Holy Spirit. By them we must now be led, guided, instructed, governed. We can't have one foot in our old ways and beliefs while trying to have the other foot in the New Testament. And friends, this most certainly applies at certain contexts. Much greater so, those who have been born within the sphere of the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Many of them think, well, I was born in the church, or therefore I must have lineage to Abraham somewheres, and they live an idle life. Again, it's to bring depth of the Spirit, this new system. Why do you come to assemble with the saints on Sunday to worship God? Do you understand why you are doing that? It's one thing to keep the law, and you should, because the new system, the new covenant, the New Testament is a law. But what worth is it to you if you only obey the law outwardly, which is pleasing to God, but yet inwardly you are perverted, you are corrupt, you are idle, you are apathetic, that is not pleasing to God, and you can't go to heaven that way. So why do you assemble on Sunday? Well, Mom told me to. Won't make it to heaven that way. Well, it's just because that's where I was born and raised. This is a church I've been going to. Won't make it to heaven that way. Keep searching. Keep asking the question. Look in the mirror. Look at the scriptures. And test yourself. Why? Why? See, the point with Judaism, when Christ came and rebuked them into repentance because the kingdom of heaven was at hand, about to be established, they had to look inwardly. Oh, yeah, you know, I haven't murdered my brother, so what are you bothering me for? Well, Jesus is saying, but you hate them. It's a good thing you don't murder them. Amen. Keep the law. Don't murder. But if you use that and as an excuse on that day, to try to hide yourself from the fact that you hated your brothers and sisters inwardly, it ain't going to go well for you. What? It's not like if I've committed adultery, No, but your eyes are on every other woman or man that don't belong to you. What? It's not like if... See, it goes deeper than the obedience to the law, which you must do outwardly, but it must have an inward root, seed, foundation. Why do you come to church on Sundays? Because you love Jesus. You know him. You've read his words. You are filled by the words of the Holy Spirit. You are walking by the Spirit. You understand the depth of your Christian faith. You want to be pleasing to God. You get it. It's not fake. It's sincere. It's genuine. You've given your life to it. That's the depth in which Christ came to teach this new covenant. It's not just an outward action of this law, which you must keep. It must also be inward. You must want to do this. Paul to the Romans, the Christians therein, again, struggling with this very thing, wanting to keep one foot in Judaism and one foot in the New Testament system. Paul saying, you can't go to heaven that way. Smarten up. You'll see a lot of the literature in the New Testament having to do with this very thing. If you were a pagan, a heathen, a Greek, you need to let go all the sexual immorality and all the sinful practices and idolatry. You need to let that go in order to be born again to this New Testament system of freedom, Jesus Christ. If you were a Jew, part of the Israel nation, you must let go all your man-made traditions that you added on, and you must let go the Mosaic system. All of that has come to pass. You can't juggle both. You can't say, well, I'll keep this and leave that there, and I'll bring this into the new system, and I'll let that there. You can't do that. And in Romans chapter 8, it is beautifully described, wonderfully revealed, how the penmanship of the Holy Spirit here tells them there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are no longer under the law and bondage and shackle of that Old Testament, that Old Covenant, the very one Jeremiah spoke and prophesied of a coming day when it would end. For the law of the Spirit of life, verse 2, chapter 8, Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, has set you free from the law of sin and of death of the Old Testament. This New Testament has set you free from the Old Testament, because the New Testament is life, and the Old Testament was for death, to point out sin and condemn. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the New Testament system, the outpouring power, the words of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh, the old way, the old system, set their minds on the things of the flesh, because that's what it was there and that's what was condemned. But those who are according to the New Testament system, the system of Jesus Christ, well, their minds are on the things of the Christ, the New Testament. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit, the New Testament, is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh. You no longer abide, you no longer live in the old covenant. But you now live in the new covenant, the new testament, this new system. If indeed this new system dwells in you, this testament, these words of Jesus Christ, if they dwell in you, but if anyone does not have this new testament system, does not obey this new testament system, does not obey the words of the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to Jesus Christ. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if this New Testament system, the words of the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwell within you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. The words of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament covenant, the New Testament system, to take them away from what was old and of the flesh and meant to condemn. That's wonderful. That's hope. What does that look like for us today? Well, we today as Christians must let go what is old. Our old beliefs, perhaps denominational beliefs and practices, perhaps heathenistic or pagan practices. Perhaps we were attached to substance abuse, adultery, fornication, abortion. Perhaps we belong to foreign religious ways like Islam. Perhaps we belong to various denominations that Jesus never built. Catholicism, the Baptist Church, Pentecostals, Wesleyans, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventists, the Amish, Anabaptists, Pentecostals, Gospel Halls. There's so many out there that have nothing to do with what God built and established. Maybe we have that and we've tried to bring that into the New Testament system. Repent. Don't do that. Let go everything from the past and allow yourself this newness of life. The words of the New Testament system, the words of the Holy Spirit, to which we must be led by, to which it must live in us, within us, that we can be guided by these words. You want a Holy Spirit-filled life? Accept wholeheartedly the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Read it, study it, memorize it, write it on your heart, and you, my friend, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let go all this sensationalism, this mythical realm, these fictions that they create about the Holy Spirit and God and these things, and settle down here on earth, sober, straight, orderly. Let go what is old and accept what is new. This New Testament system, it was created and built. Its doors were open. We could become citizens. And as Jeremiah was speaking, coupled rightly with the other prophetic utterances of the Old Testament, the messianic prophecies therein, it was built in Jerusalem during the reign of the Roman Empire, with great outpouring of power by the Holy Spirit, allocated, designated to the physical vessels therein, the apostles. The door was opened on that day, Pentecost Sunday, and those who were gladly receiving the words of the Lord said, "What must we do?" And the information, guided by the Holy Spirit, governed by God, was given to the people in order to know what they must do to let go the old and transition through a new birth. Repent. And let each and every single accountable individual out there be immersed in water with the authority of Jesus Christ, because there's the power of salvation. And you will be doing so in order to have your sins washed away, as a repentant believer confessing Christ as ruler of your life, you qualify to be immersed in water, where Jesus Christ and his powerful resurrection will operate on your soul and wash you clean. Acts 22:16. Clothed with Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. Without faith, you cannot be pleasing to God. Without faith, you will never trust in this New Testament system. You will never become a citizen of this unique kingdom, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Born again, John 3:3, John 3:5, of water and the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The New Testament system, the obedience to the words of the Holy Spirit therein. What do you think Paul was speaking of to the Christians in Rome? Romans 8. Stop living for the flesh, what is old, and start living now to what is spirit, what is new. Christ fulfilled all things on the cross. He has done all things. Now it is up to us to accept and receive that through our trust in him. Friends, the Christ said, whoever believes and is baptized, baptizo, immersed, plunged, dipped, submerged in water, shall be saved. Saved means you've been rescued from the domain of darkness. You were shackled there. You've been released, taken out of that prison. You've been saved, forgiven of sins, washed clean. How? As a believer. Because a person who does not believe shall never be immersed in water. Because he don't believe that's where he's saved. He'll never believe that. That'll be foolishness to him till the day he dies and perishes eternally. But to those of us who have the sincerity and genuineness of heart to live under this New Testament system, the words of the Holy Spirit, we most certainly submit to that. We believe and we wish to be immersed in water right now. Look, water, what prevents me from being immersed? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. Then very well. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water. Philip was snatched, had to go somewhere else to evangelize. But the eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he had been saved by the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the words of the Holy Spirit we now see and read. If you need to do that this day, you need to reach out. It can be done. You can have your soul saved by Jesus Christ this very day. Friends, I appreciate your kind attention, your audience to this information, inspired information in the Bible. Leave your comments, questions, concerns, like, share, and watch party. You can always partake in this work if you are a member of the Church of Christ at patreon.com/addedsouls. Friends, the gospel is certainly free, but it costs money to buy a Bible, don't it? Of course it does. Costs money to have a camera, have a microphone, have a computer, have the lights on at the building. Fellowship meals cost money. Things cost money. But money's just a tool to get to allowing the world to hear the freely extended and proclaimed gospel of Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins. As the sign says back there, stay focused and stay positive. This lesson here has been the timeline, the authority, and the New Testament. We have gone to Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, and we found ourselves gradually transitioning over to the New Testament teaching found in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, and together we coupled it very well, rightly divided, to bring us a teaching, a piercing, a challenge, an uplifting, encouraging moment. All right, my friends, till we meet again next time, Lord willing, God bless.